Gash out of it for a moment. Let's call it the machlokis between the Rush and others of how to read the Shakulataria of the Gemara when the Gemara says that we need a pasuk to exclude Hecha the Chafer Baboros Shichin Uma Oros. According to the Rush, we saw in the Maskana, the Rush understands that the Chiddush of the Gemara is the following. The Gemara is saying that we're talking about a case of Modeh v'Mikzas. The guy's Modeh to one land, he denies another piece of land, to which the Gemara then asks, that's a case of Helach. And the Gemara answers that question by saying that it's not Helach because the land is incomplete, because there's been Boros Shichin Maharos that have been dug inside. That's how the Rush learned the Shakulatari of the Gemara. The Magid Mishnah on the Rambam in Perek Hei Halacha Beis that we spent a lot of time on, the Magid Mishnah points out that that seems to be the Havana of Rashi. Rashi understands Shichin Maharos, the Lav Helach Hu Sharei Kilkala. It's not considered Helach, the land has been already damaged. In other words, the Sugyas have been talking about Modeh v'Mikzas. He admits that he has one of those lands. It's not Helach because he's returning a land that's already damaged. And the Talmidim asked me, why is that not considered Helach if he's willing to give back the dirt and the dirt is even sitting on the land? That's still not considered Helach because Helach is only an instance where it's Helach Halafanecha. Everything is already given to him. Everything is already complete. Everything is all ready to go. Over here, it's not all ready to go. This is the explanation that the Tosis Harash gives to our Gemara. The Rava Magid points out that the Rambam did not learn the Gemara this way, because the Rambam gives a case, as we saw in Shulchan Aruch. A case of the following in Simin Sadi Hey Sivvav, a chofer b'stei chavero boros shichnu ma'aros v'fsida hareu chayiv l'shalim bein shetanu shechofer v'amer lo chafarti. Oh, shetanu shechofer shtei ma'aros v'amer lo chafarti la echos. So if there is a fight over the land that has been damaged, so the Rambam gives the Psak, the same as the Shulchan Aruch is coming from the Psak of the Rambam, then in such a case, that is a case of instance of, on the one hand, a Modeh b'Mikzas, but on the other hand, it's a Din Torah over Karka. And since it's a Din Torah over Karka, damage over Karka, in such a case, we have a rule of Ein Hishbon Al Kfiras Shibud Karkos. Points out the Magid Mishnah. So therefore, the Rambam read our Gemara differently. Our Gemara does not talk about a case in which there is one land and an admission of one land, and it happens to be that that land is not damaged, is not Helach because it's been damaged. Rather, the case of our Sugya is a case in which there has been a machlokis over damages. One person says one thing about the damages, the other person says something else about the damages, and he admits partially to the damages. That damages falls into the category of a question of Hezek on a karka, and since we're talking about a case of Hezek on a karka, so the halacha is going to be that we say Einish bon al kfiras shibu karkos. Of course, we saw that the Ravid disagrees with that explanation of the Rambam. We're still just reviewing this, also to bring David's father into the sugya. It's great to have you. So we'll, just to review that the Ravid disagrees, and the Ravid in his Asaga says no. In the yeshivas, the way they say over the Ravid's objection, conceptually seems to be the issue of Dmei Karka Kikarka. Says the Ravid in his Asagas that in such a case, over here, we're not talking about simply an issue of a Din Torah over Karka. Here he's asking him to pay him back. In the Rambam's case, partial damages. He's asking him to pay him back. If he's asking him to pay him back, so that in such a case, then you would make a Shvua. Now this has profound nafkaminas lahalacha, as we pointed out before. And that is, when there's a machlokas in real estate, and there's an admission, would that be subject to a Shvua d'oraisa? If we're talking about saying that the Dmei Karka is Karka, so then in such a case, then we would say that it's considered a case of Karka and you're part of from a Shua like the Shitas HaRambam. Says the Ravid, no. The Ravid says that the only time you're going to be part of from a Shua is if the Toveya asks for a payment in that he should be paid back in Karka. But if he doesn't ask for Karka, by the way, the Achronim are cholik exactly how to read this right. There's a discussion in Achronim whether he's allowed to demand him to pay him back in Karka or not. That's a question of how to read the Ravid. But the Ravid says that, well, the Rambam had said would only make sense if we were talking about when he asks him to pay him back in dirt. But the way that general commerce works, that it's being payback is going to be with cash, so then in such a case, then the halacha would be different, and the halacha would dictate that there is a shvua, because, as they say in the yeshivas, Dmei Karka is Lavke Karka Dami. So this is the machlokas between the Rambam and Ravid. I gave the Talmidim homework because I asked the Talmidim to try to get back to me as far as how to look at the position of the Shach. The Shach had told us something really interesting. The Shach said that he believes that there's really no machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. That's against the Shulchan Aruch, because as we saw in the Shulchan Aruch in Sivvav, the Shulchan Aruch said the Yesh Omrim Davke Shetovu L'Malos HaPeros. The Rama said that only if he demands that the Maliach HaPeros, only if he demands that the holes be filled up. But if he doesn't demand that the holes be filled up, so then in such a case, then it's not, does not qualify as a Shavua on Karka. Simple reading of the Ramah is V'yesh Omrim. There's some who say, which assumes that this Yesh Omrim is different than the Psak of the Mechaber, which is different than the Psak of the Rambam. That's what it seems from the words in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Comes along the Shach, and the Shach says that I think that that's incorrect. The Shach says, no. He says, if you look through the Rambam and Ravid, I believe that everybody agrees halacha l'maisa, that any din Torah over real estate, the halacha would be that if he's demanding money, there would be a shvua d'oraisa. It seems to be a machlokas Rambam and Ravid. So the Shach says very, very simply, the Shach has two steps. First step, the Shach says, is that the Ravid is not being masing on the Rambam, he's explaining the Rambam. And like the Talmidim pointed out, if you look in the language of the Ravid, when he doesn't like the Rambam, tells us he doesn't like the Rambam. Over here, can you pass my Rambam, please? Over here, the Ravid does not tell us he doesn't like the Rambam. Here, it could very well be, thank you, that he's just qualifying the words of the Rambam. Because the Ravid says as following, Mirin advarim shetovu l'malos hachafiros. Mirin advarim. It appears to me that he's toveyed for him to be mamala the chafiros. But that does not seem to indicate that he is disagreeing with the Rambam, and therefore it could very well be that the Ravid's read on it is that he's just explaining the Rambam's words. The Rambam is correct when he was toveyim to Malach HaFiros, but where he's not toveyim to Malach HaFiros, then the halacha is going to be, then it's going to be different. So that's step number one in the Shach. And therefore, already then, we know the Shach's conclusion, halacha l'maisa, that if there's a case of financial issue, so then there would be a shvua d'oraisa. Step number two, says the Shach. Says the Shach, wait a second. Where do most people think the Rambam got his position from? So he says there are some who understood that the Rambam got his position from the Gemara itself. What? That what? That the klal pratu klal of einish bon al kfir shiva karkos precludes the possibility of making a shvua by damages of chofer baboro shichnu maros. And that's how the Rambam read our Gemara. Who said that? The Rabbi Magid said that. Rabbi Magid already said that. I see that there's a quizzical look on that. The Rabbi Magid had said, the Rabbi Magid said as follows, that the Rambam says, "Vitirtzu ki itzrich kra heicha dechafar baboro shichnu ma'aros umefarish rabbeinu v'tanosam alachafira shezetoin shechafar b'mezika." That he read the Gemara. The Rabbi Magid understood that the Rambam read the Gemara that in a case where there's a din Torah of hezek on the land, and there is oldah b'miktsas on the hezek, your patur shua einish manat for shibakarkos. Says the shach, I think the Rabbi Magid is wrong. Not only the Rabbi Magid said it, already the Ran said this, as the shach points out. But the shach then goes on to say he thinks the Ran changed his mind. So I hold that was the case, says the Rabbi Magid, of how the Rambam read the Gemara. Says the Shach, no. I think the Rambam read the Gemara like Rashi. What's Rashi's Pshat? So Rashi's vague. So when the Shach says Rashi, he means just take the Yud out and put an Aleph. He means the Rosh. That's what he means. If you read the Shach, it becomes clear that how did the Rambam? There's no machlokis. Everybody's making different pshatim in the Gemara. For the Daf Yomi, you need to add a footnote in the art scroll and say, "Well, this is the conventional way of reading it, like the Rosh." But there is this amazing shita of Rambam, and then to write out and see Chidush Rabbeinu Chaim Alevi al Rambam. No, you don't need all that. There's one shita over here. There's one way of reading the Gemara, and there are no two ways. The Rabbi Magid is wrong. This is how the Shach would have it. The Shach's art scroll would be a lot simpler than the Rabbi Magid's. There's one way of reading the Gemara. Azay zak the Shach. Now this is typical of the Shach. What the Shach will do is the Shach will show all the assumptions that are being made by the poskim when he thinks they're wrong, and he'll disagree with every single one of the assumptions. That's what the Shach does. He says the assumption that Rabbi Magid is wrong. Once the assumption that Rabbi Magid is wrong, then the Mechaber is wrong, then the Ramah is wrong, and then the Psak is totally different. That's what the Shach says. So assumption number two, he says that's incorrect, is that there are two readings of the Gemara. There's one reading of the Gemara. Sometimes the 150 line Shach actually makes the Gemara simpler, not more complicated. Then why did it take 150 lines? Because what the Shach is doing in that 150 lines, I didn't go through the 150 lines myself either, but what the Shach is doing in those 150 lines is he's just pointing out all of the assumptions that the Rishonim made to make the Gemara complicated. See, this is a point I think at some of my Talmidim when they started out in the second year, they thought the Shach is about making it more complicated. Hafuch. The Poskim and the Achronim a lot of the times are making it simpler. So why does it take so many lines? Because they have to go back and show how all the assumptions that everybody else made it more complicated are not correct. That's what the 150 lines are there for. So he says there's one way of reading the Gemara. There's no plural opinions. There's one Havana over here. And what's that one Havana? Rashi's Havana, which is the way we saw it in the Rosh. Tov. This is a fascinating, fascinating machlokas. We'll come back to the lamdus, assuming that there's a machlokas Rambam arriving, not like the Shach, shortly. But I left you off with a dramatic homework. And the dramatic homework was, could you defend the Mechaber and the Rambam? Could you defend the Mechaber and the Rambam from this awesome Shach? Yes, Meisha? Let me give you a hint of where I'm driving at. I'm picking up a one piece over here. Says the Shach two lines into the wide on page Reish Ayin Aleph. That's what I'm going to pick up on. Moshe, is that where you were going? You don't have to. You're entitled to go into another direction.
That the Ram and the Rav were saying. The Rav was saying.
No, don't guess what I'm saying. You say what Meisha wants to say. Go ahead.
So, yesterday we read Rinigash two ways, either like the Rosh or the Rambam. And if it's read, I think we said it was more like the Rambam. And if it is the Rambam, then the shot which he rejects in the beginning is the Rav.
Correct.
So seemingly it can't be if we look at it from Masorah that this is a side point, that the Rimagash has sort of the Rambam, so seemingly the Rambam said like...
Beautiful. Beautiful. Step number one, Moshe is not dealing with the words yet of the Shach, but we had a very big suffix. Let's see, maybe I'd like to hear what Mr. Radin has to say about this as well, about this Rimagash. We had a machlokus amongst the Talmidim about how to read the Rimagash in the Shita Mikubetzes. In the Shita Mikubetzes we had the Rimagash, which is quite cryptic, where the Rebbetzal Ashkenazi dug out a Rimigash from the Tshuvas, and he puts it next to the Ravid, as Moshe pointed out yesterday. And there, the Rimigash says something that one could read as being the forerunner for the Shitas HaRamba. That he says, Elo Mishum. How do I read the Gemara, says the Rimigash? Dichichofer Babor Shichin Amoris Lav Helechu. Da Lav Hainu Karka de Katonle. Umishum Hachi Yitzrekro Lemiyut. In Memra de Kai Gavna Bimetalton Chayiv Shua. Da Havale Moda Bimitzas Karka Upotu. So, Yonatan yesterday read the Rimigash as saying the following. Rimigash says that I would have a havamina that a machlokis on damage over karka should be considered what? Should be considered a case on mitaltalin. Comes along the Xeris Hakosov and says that no, we consider it as a case of karka, and therefore the halachi is that you're potter from a shvua. Number one, it's lav helach. Why? The lav ainu karka de katanle. Because we're not dealing with a shaila over karka, we're dealing with a shaila of damages. That's how Yonatan read the Rimigash. In Kainim Advarim, says Moshe, this is going to be the weakest kash on the shah. Then the pshat that the Shach says in the Rambam is wrong. Why? Because if the Rambam follows his Rebbe, who is the Rimigash learned the Gemara in the way that the Shach says there's no way anybody read the Gemara. In other words, the Shach says that the Rav Magid and the Ran made things complicated by having a different shot in the Gemara. Well, coincidence! It happens to be that no one less than the Rimigash, who is the greatest inspiration on the Rambam, read the Gemara that way. And that is the greatest riot to the Magid Mishnah. That would be the greatest riot to the Magid Mishnah. That's Moshe's riot. It's not a bad riot. That's what I thought of too. I think it's a very strong riot, but it's predicated on one thing. It's predicated on Yonatan being correct in his reading of the Rimigash. That the Rimigash is saying that the chidush of the Gemara is that we don't view a din Torah of damage of karka as a shayla of karka, but rather we view it as a shayla of what? We view it as a shayla of karka itself. Yisrael yesterday was Mekayim last night's 10-minute Musar. We spoke about last night, we spoke about taking on the entire world and not being intimidated by being different. When being different is right. That's this week's Parasha Elokeo Ivrim. So Yisrael didn't back down, he didn't prove that he was right, but Yisrael had a different reading than the Gash, and I see actually the Torah world learn differently than the cave. And the way they summarize the sheet of the Rimigash, they actually read it like the way Yisrael read it and not like Yonatan. I thought Yonatan was right. And I have to say, Rabbi Beryl Wine's movie moment might have been mashpia on me also, because it sounded so much like the Rambam, so maybe that was mashpia on me. You know, we spoke about the media effect of pulling us in one direction, so the media could have pulled me in a particular direction. So I saw that the Masifta Gemara, when they quote the Rimigash, explained the Rimigash the way Yisrael did. And the Rimigash is being the exact same shot as the Rosh. And then a fuch. Then it comes out that it's a riot. So we have a big, big suffix of how to read this Rimigash. I think the reason I read it this way is because this line, I know I re-explained it according to Yonatan, but this line, Lav Helechu, Da Lav Hainu Karka De Katoinle, it seems to read better according to Yisrael's pshat than it does Yonatan's pshat. Yonatan, you want to defend yourself? Okay, good.
Like carcass and Zika, the
right, you want to reread karka. The karka means the zika. Okay, so I was going to say to you that I don't have to reread the word karka. In other words, you want to say lav hainu karka means that it's nezikin and it's not a case of karka. Right. The simpler thing is, he's just saying it's not considered halach. It's not considered halach because it's not karka. That's really the question of how to read the Rimigash. You know what I would ask you to do? I would be mevakesh from the Talmidim to chase down the Tshuvas Rimigash. Because this comes from Mitshuvas HaRimigash. Could we chase down this Tshuvas HaRimigash and see if the Shita Mikubetz's quote is a verbatim quote of the Tshuvas HaRimigash? That would help us out in terms of game. So either if Yonatan's right, then Moshe has a very strong kash on the Shach. If Yisrael is right, so then actually, then it becomes a strong raya to the Shach. Okay. So lo lecham lechal legmar. It's a fascinating. I think we're talking about topics that has never been discussed. Could you believe it? That for 2,000 years we've been pounding this out, and yet still there's something new. There's something new. There's a new terrain. We're making Torah history either way. I think because I've never seen anybody point this out yet. Connect. I mean, I haven't spent that much time working on the sugya, but from what I've seen, I didn't see anybody attack it to exactly our angle that we're attacking. We're attacking it now. That's number one. But number two, I do have a conclusive kash on the Shach. I do have an absolutely conclusive on the Shach, kash on the Shach. It does not prove a rejection of the Shach's shita la'alacha, but it does show that the Shach is not l'niyas daiti 100% correct. Now, the moment we already show that the Shach is not 100% correct, so then, if there's a kink in the Shach's armor, so then that creates a reyusa, a weakness in the whole argument of the Shach. But there's assumption here that the Shach makes that you guys should have picked up on. I'm surprised that nobody picked up on this. That you guys should have picked up on in the words Venira Shagama Raivin Mefarish came. In those words, where the Shach says everybody learned the sugya this way, and everybody learns like the Rush, and there's no makar that the Rambam and Raivin are being cholik on anything. And therefore, the Rambam would agree with the Raivin. Now, I'm not going to prove that the Rambam does not agree with the Raivin, but I am, Bezer Hashem, going to prove that something that the Shach said is not accurate. It's not the Shach's fault, because the Shach probably didn't have what we have. But could anybody show? No one knows what I'm referring to? Yes, Izzy? The spell out what you mean.
The Magi Mishnah interprets it as a focus.
Right. Okay, no, the Shach is aware of that. The Shach has no compunction. Shach was afraid of nobody. He has no compunction of saying that the Magi Mishnah is wrong. The Shach says, I'm saying the Magi Mishnah is wrong. Yeah, that's not a riot. Yes, Yisrael? Beautiful. We learned a Ravid in the Shita Mikubetzes that says not what the Shach says in the Shat in the Gemara. Let's start with the words of the Shach. Venira, Shigam a Ravid Mefarish Kain Hashas. What does the word Kain mean? The Ravid also learns the Gemara, the one Shach. You remember what the Shach's assumption was? That there's only one explanation of the Gemara and everybody's in agreement. What's that one explanation? That we're not talking about Hezek here. We're talking about case of Modim and Mikzas on damage on the land. That is Venira Shigam a Ravid Mefarish Kain Hashas. V'lo Hutzrich Lomar Ba'asagis Nir and Advarm Shetov L'malos Achafiros Elefarish Divrei Rambam. And therefore there's no machlokas between the Rambam and Ravid at all. And the Ravid is just explaining the words of the Rambam. This the Torah world already realized once the Shita Mikubetzes came out. We already dramatized yesterday that it was the Ravid was not as lucky. We surmised why was not as lucky as the Rambam, that not all of his works were kept intact. And the Ravid's Perushim on Shas disappeared and only reappeared in Bava Kama. But
on Bava Metzia, whatever the Shita Mukubetzas put in, we have. Whatever the Shita Mukubetzas didn't put in, we don't have. Shita Mukubetzas found a Raivit, who's the same Baal HaSogas HaRaivit, even though there are three Raivits. But we know that this is the same Raivit. He found a piece. What did that piece say, Rabosai? Let's remind ourselves. How did the Raivit learn up the Gemara? Says the Raivit, Ma shekosav b'sefer. This that it says in the Sefer. He quotes a pshat. He rejects a pshat. And then he says, Ikol Meimar, the last lines, Delo Talmimidei Demei Hezek Achafiros, Ela Sheyachzar V'Yimalios and Umodelo Sheyimale. The case of the Gemara is a case of Hezek, says the Raivid. And it must be, says the Raivid, he asks him to fill it up with dirt and not money. Because I hope, says the Raivid, that if you would ask him for money, there would be a shvua. And our Gemara is saying it's a case of karka because he asked him to fill it up with dirt. That's how the Raivid learns up our Gemara. So you see that the great Shach, who wasn't zoche to have the Raivid tachas yado, erred in his description of how the Raivid learns the sugya. In other words, the Shach so much wanted to hold on to one Havana and no Machlokios. It comes out that the Raivid's Shita, he already began to fight with others in the Pshat in the Gemara. Certainly, if you learn that the Shita Mekubetzas was quoting the Rimigash to juxtapose the Rimigash and the Raivid, then we already have the Machokis and the Yara Chazaka back to back in the Shita Mekubetzas. That's if you learn like Yonatan. Then for sure the Shach is wrong. But that I'm not sure at all about. I see the Torah world does not learn like Yonatan. They learn like Yisrael. So then I don't have a proof that the Rambam disagrees with the Raivid. But what I do already know is that one of the assumptions of the Shach is not correct. And then I was thrilled to see this morning, I planned to say this yesterday in Shir, and then I was thrilled to see that we were mechaving to the Imre Baruch. Take a look at the Agos Imre Baruch. The Imre Baruch is a little bit after the time of the Ketzos HaKoshen, and he makes our point. V'nir shigam arayim v'farish kain all the way on the bottom. Nira v'einai lo hoya l'maros einov. Asifas Zekenim. I didn't know what that stood for. Asifas Zekenim was what they used to call the Shita Mekubetzas. Somehow the marketing people decided to change the name. They decided to call it Shita Mekubetzas, but it used to be known as Asifas Zekenim. Lebava Metzia Shehevi Sham Lashon Arayvid. In the Shita Mekubetzas, it's not that way. So you already see, there's already a kasha. Once the Shach is off on one thing, no, I'm no longer convinced he's not off on other things. So as a defense of the Mechaber Ramah, that's a legitimate defense. If you put together what we observe in the Raivid and say the Rimi Gash is the precursor of Shita Saraman, which definitely makes a lot of sense, and it would make sense that Rabbi Tal Ashkenazi digging these different Shitas out to juxtapose them, then it's a pircha gemura on the Shach, and we would not follow the Shach lahalacha. Right now, we point out that there's a weakness in the Shach. The Shach erred in one line. It's not a kasha lahalacha. If Yonatan is right, so then the Shach is wrong, aliba de ilchasa, and then it would be a machlokas mechaber and the Ramah. This, of course, in no way takes away from the awesomeness of the Shach. When you read this piece, you're absolutely blown away that this is a man who wrote this in his 30s, maybe in his 20s. The Bekius and the Harifus in one place is absolutely mind-boggling. There's the way the Shach and his determination to go and get the sugya right and not be intimidated by all those who preceded him is something that's absolutely mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. But the Shach did not have the Shita Mekubetzas. And since he didn't have the Shita Mekubetzas, it could be the Shach's entirely wrong. And that's the question of how you read the Rimi Gash. Okay, Rabosai, that was Gishmak, no? All right. Let's now take a look at the way they say over in the yeshivas. This they don't discuss in yeshivas. For some reason, it's usher to open up the Shulchan Aruch in the yeshivas. a Shulchan Aruch and a Shach. The only thing you're allowed to do is the Gedolei Rosh Yeshivas. So we don't agree with that approach. But at the same time, we also want to do the Gedolei Rosh Yeshivas as well to wrap up our sugya, to know the basic lamdus. And all of it starts with Pshat. Everything, if you notice, all of this started. Rabbi said, do you realize the same discussion we had with whether the Shach is right halach l'maisa was the original discussion that we had on how to read the Gemara? Right? How you read the Gemara is the same issue. And chaval for those people who only learn the Pshat, that they don't get to see the beauty of how the Shalshelas HaMasayra opens it up. So they're afraid of intimidating the Talmidim by opening up too many Svarim. Or they're afraid that they're not going to touch on all the Pshat issues. But the whole beauty of the Sugya is lost. And you see now also, if you learn Halacha without being Omel in Gemara Rashi Tosfos, and it's a big problem today. There's a big Yetzara. Look, the Svarim don't sell if you don't write La Halacha. The only thing that sells nowadays is Halacha. Before I printed my sefer, I went to the Ger Rebbe Shlita, and he looked at it, looked at the manuscript quickly. He said, "Zelomdus." So I said, "Zeiun." So he asked me, "Yesh halacha?" So I said, "No, it's on Sudas and Kedusha." He said, "Ein halacha." So at that moment when he said Ein Halacha, so then I decide, you know what, I'm going to pick a few sugyas and be Masik Shmaitza Aliba Del Chasa. And those sugyas I wrote both Bi'iyun and La Halacha. In other words, it's not just on the Shulchan Aruch, it's also on Gemara Rashi tells us. In order to know the sugya well, La Halacha, you have to have been Amel in the Gemara Rashi tells us. And then to be Masik Shmaitza Aliba Del Chasa, you need to do both. That was a good mussar that the Ger Rebbe gave me. But it's a big, big problem. It's a big problem today. People think that Pshat is one world, Halacha is another world. And that's wrong. The only way you could be Paskin and Shaila is to know Pshat. And the only way to really see how Pshat plays itself out is to see the Halacha. And the other chiyuv is, if a person learns, he needs to be Masik Shmaik Zadli B'de Hilchasa. I get very, very, very offended when people say that what we do is lamdus. It's not true. It's not true. Our tafkid is to learn the pshat, then to take apart the sugya, and then to be masik shmaitz aliva de ilchasa. Is there ever a time you feel that we weren't masik shmaitz aliva de ilchasa that stopped me? And if there's a shach in the Shulchan Aruch or Ramah, then we have to take a look and see how we pass it. Okay. But at the same time, I feel the responsibility to share with you what they discussed in the yeshivas the last 100 years. And this is a beautiful discussion over here. Let's take a look at how Reb Chaim, we're just going to do for the next 15 minutes, we're going to do Reb Chaim's hesder in the Machlokas Rambam and Ravid. Of course, Reb Chaim's starting point is going to be like the Magen Mishnah, and the starting point is the Magen Mishnah, who says that what we're dealing with is a machlokis between the Rambam and Ravid. He's not going to assume like the Shach. That was sort of the Shach was forgotten. And Reb Chaim learns the way he learns. Let's take a look. Rambam right. Chena chofer b'sad the chaver beror shichnu ma'aros tefsido v'areu chayv l'shalim bein shetanu shechofer v'uamar lo chafarti o shetanu shechofer shtei ma'aros v'uamar lo chafarti la'achas o shahaya sham eirechot shechof v'uamar lo chafarti klum ha'reza nishbehesis ala kol v'asagas amar Avraham mirin ratvarim shetobu l'malos ha'chafiros l'hashvos ha'chatzeros avol l'tobu Shalom Pichso, Hareu Kishart Vismanu, Kumishama Lo Chavalta Shnaim, Kwame Lo Chavalti Ella Achas. So that's the Machlokas Rambam Ravid that we've been discussing in detail up until now. Now, what we're going to do is skip to. Well, let's read the first sentence, and then we're going to skip a draft because it's really not relevant in terms of what we need for the analysis. V'hainu mishum da'arayvid mashve chavolas adam l'niske karka. What was the Ravid's objection? The Ravid's objection is, at the end of the day, he says, just like the halach is, if someone says, chavalta bishnayim v'omer lo chavalta yela achas, the halach is, it's tviyas mamon, and we have a rule, adam ukesh l'karkos, we have a rule, adam ukesh l'karkos, since we have a rule of adam ukesh l'karkos, so then in such a case, says the Ravid, same thing will apply in our din Torah as well. And we'll we would say is that just like over there there's no modem mitzvah, so too over here there's not going to be a modem mitzvah. V'ayinu mishum da'arayvid mashve chaval to'odom l'niske karka d'tarvayu ein al gufan din shvua v'rak da'al tashum n'chayiv lishava. Only if there's a tashum and is there a chiyuv to be mashpia. So what says the Ravid like this: when it comes to chavalta bishnayim, could you pay back an arm? You can't. If you can't pay back an arm, even though adam is hukish lekarkos, we look at it as a din Torah of mammon. If we look at it as a din Torah of mammon, so then in such a case, we should say so too over here. The case of a karka is a din Torah of a mammon. If you pay back a limb, it's not a din Torah of a mammon. But you don't pay back in prosthetics. You pay back in money. So if that's so, so then it's a din Torah metaltlin. So too by the shayla of metaltlin. Vihine. Kfar kosva mefarshim. Dilafima shekosa rabbi shvuz. Al hachdu rabbi Yehuda de chavalta bishnayim. Dilav davi mod mitzvahs mamish elkein mod mitzvahs. There are many who defend the Rambam and say that that raya is not a strong raya. And they say it's not a strong raya because that halacha of chavalta bishnayim is only a shvua midrabbanan. It's not a shvua d'oraisa. So since it's a shvua d'rabbanan and not a shvua d'oraisa, so therefore the argument goes that once a shvua d'rabbanan and not a shvua d'oraisa, so then we'll be makel and say that you can make a shvua d'rabbanan. If it would be a shvua d'oraisa, so then in such a case we would say that it hasn't been karka. But if it's a shvua d'rabbanan, then we're going to be makel. That is the defense that some give. Okay, so really the Ravid's Raya is not a strong Raya. So step number one is you should know that the Rishonim answer the question of the Ravid on the Rambam that Chavalta Bishnayim is not a very strong case because Chavalta Bishnayim is only a Shaila of a Durabonon and not a Din Doraisa. So you can't prove that there is a Shvua Doraisa on to make karka from chavalta bishnayim because there it's only a shvum midrabban. That's step number one. Ela taktos achoshen hiksha. But the tos achoshen asks, there's another raya. Anasto pitita is piti. Vuamer lo anasti vlo pititi. Mashbiechani vaomer amen chayiv. What about a case of where the guy says, the father says, you raped my daughter, and the guy denies it. Pigam hainu nezek, pigam is considered nezek, and it's dmei adam. Umikol mokom chayiv bekarbon shua. If he lied in that shua, he has to bring a karbon. Ubal karchach the dmei karka dinam kimetaltalin. So the Ktzov says, even though the Ravid's raya is not such a strong raya, nevertheless, I've got another raya. What's the other raya going to be? The raya is, in the case of Anasto Bidita is Piti, that there the halacha is that he's chayiv a karban shvua if he lied. Why are we going to say that you're chayiv a karban shvua? If we're going to consider dmei karka, lav kikarka, if we're going to consider dmei karka, kikarka. So the Rambam is wrong for another reason. The Rambam is wrong from the sugya of Anasto Bidita is Piti. This is the Ktzos HaChoshen's question. So now Rav Chaim is bothered, but why didn't the Ravid bring this as a Ravid? Varechiyuv carbon shua midorais. The chiyuv carbon shua is minat Torah. Lehed yitnan b'misnisin sham. Amar lo chavalti bi. Vasisi bi chabura. Vamar lo chavalti. Vlo sisi lucha chabura. Mashbiecha ani vamar amnein chayiv. Vloma hevi arayvin mehach de chavalti bishnayim. Da shvua eino el midrabanan. Vlo hevi mehach de chavalti bichay. Dechayiv carbon shua minat Torah. So Reb Chaim takes the Ksosis Kasha on the Rambam and says, why did the Raivin not bring that as a riot to his position? He brought a riot to a case which is only a case of Midrabanan. Why did he bring that as a riot? For a carbon shuel gam came leko bikarka ubal karchav to dmei karka einim kikarka vitzarathiyun. That's the Kasha. If you can't hear me, move closer. I apologize. I can't scream. The Hanir Mizem Vur. The Choluk din carbon shua mi din chayiv shvichin shua. So Reb Chaim answers with a beautiful yisod. He says that there's a fundamental difference between carbon shua and a chiyuv shua. And this is a classic yisod of Reb Chaim, and really follows up beautifully from something we've already discussed in the past. Da afa gav de tarvayu lesson b'karkos. Just like when it comes to carbon shvua, if it's a case of karka, it doesn't apply. But it comes to dmei karka, they're fundamentally different. This that the Rambam says that we pass in English bon out make karka. Al karchak tzarech lomar hu mishum kivon de tashlum in ein chalife karka sheziko. V'nezek hakarka hu ikur chiyuve. V'imkein ikur chiyuv shua so hu rak v'nezek hakarka. The chiyuv shua, why do you have to make a shua? Reb Chaim is going to develop the difference between the mechayev of carbon shua and the mechayev of making a shua. He says, why do you have to make a shua? Because there was something that was karka, whether it has a din karka or it's karka mamish, that was something that has a status of karka, which you say you're patarin, and I say you're chayivin. So where does the chiyuv come from? The chiyuv comes from the karka. And since we have a rule that you don't make a shua on karkos, then what comes out is that there isn't a chiyuv shua on the tashlumen as well. In other words, the chiyuv shua stems from the karka itself. It's a din Torah over karka. And einish bon al chiyuv shiva karkos. Ulefize, shafir choluk bazeh chiyuv shua mi karbon shua. In that way, the chiyuv shua is fundamentally different than the karbon shua. Dile inyan chiyuv shua tzrichin anu lodun bi'ikur v'haskolas hachiyuv. When we're talking about the chiyuv shua, you got to look at the subject. What's the subject? The subject is karka. And the denial and the admission all relates to the ascholas achiyuv. Valkein bidmei karka kiva the ikra achiyuv who has that karka v'atashlumin avyon chalufay akarka imkei memeila the last baby ikra achiyuv din shua. If that's so, then there is no ikra achiyuv of shua umemeila the ein kan achiyuv shua gamal atashlumin. And therefore, the money which is a result of that also doesn't have the shua, because the money is a result on the din Torah on the karka. It's a din Torah on karka. Masha'en ken le'inin carbon shua. But if we're talking about the carbon shua, the ikur din kfira shebezel mi din gzelas mama. Why does a person bring a carbon shua? Because he's stealing money. Ain't din And you don't look at the source of it. You look at it, the fact that I, by denying it, caused you a loss of money. I deny that I don't have to pay you back money. But on the stealing of the money, we don't look at the chiyuv. We look at, pragmatically, that I took away from you cash. We don't look at the source. And the same applies to dmei karka. Since the tashlumin are considered metaltlin, alkein shapir mischayev b'karban shvua. Therefore, you're going to have a karban shvua. Asher alkein. That's so. Lahachihu shalohevi arayvit klal me'ach the karban shvua. Now I understand why the rayvit did not bring a raya from the case of karban shvua. What was the ksosis raya? The ksos brought a raya from the case of anasto bititas biti. That over there we see that the halacha is that there is a chiyuv of a carbon shvua. So why did the Raivin not prove that when something has a din karka, since we're dealing with the mei karka, you have a chiyuv of metaltlin, not karka? Why didn't you bring a raya from that? So the answer is beautiful. Because there we're talking about karban shvua. And karban shvua is different than the chiyuv of making a shvua. A karban shvua is on the gzela. The gzela shebo, then in such a case, then everybody would agree that it's a din Torah metaltlin. Even the Rambam would agree. And the Raivin's aware of that. That he would agree that that's a din Torah, that's a mechayiv of metaltlin. The mechayiv is metaltlin. Why? Because the mechayiv of carbon shua is the gzela. The gzela, it came out from where? The gzela came out from the fact that I denied money. If I denied money, say in such a case, it's a chiyuv carbon shua l'kuleyama. The Rambam was mechadesh to make karka is kekarka only when we're talking about the chiyuv shua. If we're talking about the chiyuv shua, Rav Chaim points out, so then in such a case, then the Rambam holds that the mekarka is kikarka. Asher alkein lahachi u'shlo evi arayvi klal me'ach the karmen shua. V'rak me'ach the chaval to bishnayim darli nichiyav shua. The muchach mizeh the gamli nichiyav shua the mekarka dinim kimetalton v'shpon aleim. V'al zeh haray yesh li yashe v'das a rambam das ma'am shua d'rabbana. The only raya that he could bring is from a chiyav shua in the case of, as the raya brought, the case of Chavalta Bishnaim, and that already the Ksos HaChoshen answered based on the Ran that Chiyuv is only a Chiyuv Shvua Midrabanon. Valzer, Yirei Yesh Liyash, Das Ram, Das Ram Shvua Midrabanon, Disa Gambi Karkos. And that will be the answer to that question. Tov, Rabosai, this is the end of our beautiful Sugya. I was wondering if you could ask whether this Reb Chaim is so sir the other Reb Chaim that we did. When did we do the other Reb Chaim? The beginning of the week? I want you to think about whether it's so sir or not. That's just fun homework. But this Bezer Hashem ends this beautiful, beautiful sugya of Chofer Babo Shiuch Memaros. Obviously, Reb Chaim understood there's a fundamental machlokas Rambam and Raivin, and he went big Magi Mishnah. We saw that at the Yisod of the machlokas Rambam and Raivin of the Magi Mishnah relates on how you read Pshat in our Gemara. What did the Gemara mean when it said Chofer Babo Shiuch Memaros? Then the last thing we dealt with was the Raivin's Kasha, and then a Kasha on the Raivin's Kasha. Why did the Raivin have that kasha? So let's just review, let's just crunch that. The Raivin's kasha was that we see by Chavalta Bishnayim, the halach is you do make the shvua. So what do we see? Dmei karka is lav kikarka. To which the answer Tzos HaChoshen gives is based on the Ran, is that was only a chiyuv shvua midrabban, not a chiyuv shvua daraisa. So you can assume dmei karka is kikarka, but the rabban came along for whatever reason is to do a shvua. But Tzos then says, but the Raivin has a strong raya from what case? From carbon shvua. And that's a Pella. It's a strong kash on the Rambam, to which Reb Chaim turns the tables on the Ksos. This I didn't emphasize it this way. Reb Chaim turns the tables on the Ksos. He says, Ksos Achosh, and if you were right that it was a good kasha, then the Raivan knew that Gemara too. Why didn't the Raivan ask that on the Rambam? So he says, I'll tell you why the Raivan didn't ask on the Rambam, and thereby he's miyashing the Rambam, and shows that the Ksos Achosh is wrong. Why did the Raivan not ask it on the Rambam? Because there that's a case of carbon shua. What's the mechayiv of carbon shua? When it comes to carbon shua, there was a din Torah over karka, and I deny that I don't have to pay you back on this karka. I deny that I don't have to pay you back. So there you're not going to look at where it starts, the Shorash HaDvarim. You're going to look, when it comes to Karban Shmuel, you look at the Gzela. The Gzela is what? The Gzela is money. In contrast to Einish Bud Al Kfira Shiva Karkos, if at the source of the Din Torah is Karka, there's a Gzeras HaKosa that says Einish Bud Al Kfira Shiva Karkos. And there, when it comes to Chiyoshua, we look at the Makar. And if at the Makar there is a Karka, so then in such case, no Shua. So now, see Reb Chaim, what Reb Chaim did. He defended the Rambam, and he showed why the Ksos HaChoshen is wrong. Because what happened according to Ksos, in the Ksos's Kasha, why did he bring a case of Karban Shvua? Again, that case of Karban Shvua is Anasto Bidita Zbiti Vo'amar Lo. So then in such a case, there, he has a Kasha, Ksos has a Kasha on the Rambam, number one. So we show the Rambam is wrong. Number two, the Raivan didn't bring it down. So it must be that the Ksos HaChoshen is wrong, says Reb Chaim. That the Raivan didn't bring it, and the Meili's also defended the Rambam as well. All right, we now start question and answers. We can start question and answers in learning, and then go to question and answers in life.